peoples. It is about that time. And the feeling is right. This is the Dark 30 Hour on Joshua P. Warren. Speaking of strange, I am Sam the Animal Steel, joined tonight by co-host, guest host, Shannon Allison. Let me tell you a little bit about the Dark 30 Hour. The Dark 30 Hour, if you happen to have kids that are for some reason listening to AM radio at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, depending on the household you run, I'm not sure exactly how you guys do stuff out there, some of these stories might be a little off color. Some of them might be a hint risque. I would say PG-13. We're not going hard R, people. It's nothing crazy. But some of these could be dealing with the seedier side of life, the unseemly, the parts of life you might not want to interact with. But sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes. The first story I wanted to get to tonight is not necessarily horribly. It's not like a lady chops off man's wanker story. It's actually scarier and more frightening than that type of story. Here we go. The Bulletin of Atomic Scientists has moved the doomsday clock ahead by 30 seconds to 11:58 p.m., the symbolic time of civilization's destruction. Now, that is not good.
No.
If you are aware of the doomsday clock, it was first used in 1947. It's a metaphor meant to measure how close we are to destroying the world. Now, this is the second time the clock has come this close to midnight. The first, to give you some reference point, was in 1953, after both the U.S. and Soviet Union tested their first thermonuclear bombs within 6 months of one another. So that was the last time that we have been this close to midnight. Gives you something to feel good about. Oh, my goodness. The first time the doomsday clock moved was after the Soviet Union successfully tested its first atomic bomb in 1949. It moved from the original 7 minutes to midnight to 3 minutes to midnight. So these are not like, that was a big jump. That was a big jump. But in the 58 years since, we've not jumped a whole lot. The danger of some sort of nuclear catastrophe is greater than it was in the Cold War, is what they are saying now. In 1991, at the end of the Cold War, the hands moved the farthest they've ever been away from midnight to 17 minutes to midnight. In an uncharacteristic move, the scientists moved the clock by 30 seconds in 2017 to 2.5 minutes to midnight, as typically the clock is moved by the minute. The Bulletin said at the time, the probability of global catastrophe is very high and the actions needed to reduce the risks of disaster must be taken very soon. Now, a lot of this has to do with the tensions between the U.S. and North Korea over the past few months. They say to call the world's nuclear state dire is to understate the danger and its immediacy. Just 2 days into the new year, President Donald Trump responded to a remark by North Korean leader Kim Jong-un that he had a nuclear button on his desk by tweeting, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un just stated that the nuclear button is on his desk at all times. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I, too, have a nuclear button, but it is much bigger and much more powerful than his and my button works. That seems like a great thing for a president to tweet out. I don't know. But, yeah, that's how do you feel about that? We're 2 minutes to midnight.
I'm not feeling very confident about this matter.
It does not make me feel that great.
No.
How about something a little more upbeat? How about a little something nicer? You can witness a trifecta of lunar events called a super blue blood moon. If you just get up early enough, I might still be up. You'll probably still be up.
Yes.
We are children of the night. If you wake up early enough on January the 31st. Now, if your first response is, say that again. That would not be out of a line right there. A super blue blood moon. What in the H is that? Well, let me tell you, it's a spectacular space event. And it does sound made up, but the event is very real. The elements are super, blue, and blood. Super moon is when the moon is closer to Earth in its orbit, known as the perigee, and about 14% brighter than usual. It will be the third supermoon in a trilogy of supermoons that began on December 3rd, 2017. Blue, the blue part of it, is coinciding with this supermoon is the fact that this is the second full moon in January, which is known as a blue moon. Okay, blue moon of Kentucky. Yeah. The blood moon happens during a lunar eclipse when the moon appears rust-colored. So there you have it, a super blue blood moon. And so it's going to be pretty wild because certain areas of the country are going to be able to see it while the moon will be covered by the Earth's shadow during a lunar eclipse. And the moon will be reflecting refracted sunlight that makes the surface appear burnt red in the Earth's sky. Yeah, super blue blood moon. Will you be able to see it? Well, the West Coast, Alaska, and Hawaii are going to have the best views of totality from start to finish without a telescope, but eclipse viewing is going to be more challenging in our neck of the woods. The eclipse will be beginning at 5:51 a.m. Eastern time as the moon is about to set in the western sky and the sky is getting lighter in the east. So in our time zone, they recommend watching from a high place. Oh, I'll be high. With a clear view to the west to catch a glimpse of the moon's reddish hue.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Super blue blood moon of Kentucky. What you got over there? Got anything?
I was kind of, I don't know the word, perturbed, perhaps.
I like that word.
By this whole Tide Pod Challenge.
Yes, I've heard a little bit about the Tide Pod Challenge. It seemed unlike some of those other like ice bucket challenges
right,
that were for good things.
This one's a little more dangerous, and it's, this one...
It was stupid, is what
stupid.
It is.
It's absolutely stupid, because...
Explain what the Tide Pod Challenge is.
Apparently, it started out as some sort of an internet meme, something kind of like a satire-type deal, but... It quickly evolved into teens deciding to record themselves biting into the laundry packs. I don't know why. I have no idea why they're doing this. But I do know that it's not the smartest thing to try.
No. And not to mention that detergent is not cheap.
It's not cheap. And if you ingest it, you could have a seizure, pulmonary edema, respiratory arrest, go into a coma.
From eating.
And you could even die.
But you'll have clean innards.
You may. Well, I don't know.
You'll poop bubbles.
But if you do so decide to tempt fate and you want to know what's going to happen to you and your body if you ingest one, just make sure that you immediately contact the National Poison Help Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or text POISON to 7979. I highly recommend against this. It doesn't seem brilliant. I don't know. Why do people do what they do? Why would you do that?
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing here that last year football star The Gronk, Rob Gronkowski, starred in a Tide commercial. And now he's actually made an ad urging people. This is like what the world that we're living in right now, where The Gronk is urging people to not eat Tide.
Yes, do not do it.
It's being shown on their Twitter and Facebook pages because, you know, as you said, some teenagers have been making videos showing themselves eating the Tide.
Yes.
But it actually apparently started in 2015, but it's just now becoming popular. Sometimes it takes a while.
It does, for these wonderful ideas.
Yeah.
to go viral.
Remember a couple years ago you had the Jankum? You remember Jankum?
Jankum
was... A purported way that is like the news media, the fake news was reporting that kids were getting high on this new drug called Jankum, which was you took some doo-doo and some other stuff, you know, like waste, and you fermented it.
This is already bad.
You fermented it in like a 2-liter bottle, and then you would huff the fumes and get high. And, you know, so kids were trying this.
Oh, my gosh.
But as Snopes, you know, debunked, it was all just an internet hoax. But it caught the several, you know, news reporting agencies, you know, were like running with it.
Right.
Kids see, they're like, oh, get high.
Yeah, yeah.
Jank them. You got some of that jank them. Yeah, so that happened too.
It's crazy. It reminds me of the whole, well, as far as the warnings not to eat the Tide, kind of like don't dry your hair while you're in the bathtub.
Don't eat the yellow snow.
Don't eat yellow. Why do we even have to be told these things?
Because, Shannon, we, and I say we as the royal we, the collective we, not as the we that's in this room right now, but the collective we are dumb. And for the most part, I think that people, myself included, are just looking for any way, shape, or form to take their mind off of what's going on in the world around them, to take themselves out of their heads for a minute. If that involves sniffing poo or eating detergent, then damn it, so be it. I don't have to think about life for a few minutes.
I think I'd rather think about life than feel my innards ablaze.
Have you ever eaten a Tide Pod? It could be delicious.
Why, no, I have not.
I like to
Man,
put them
maybe
in
I'll
a,
go home tonight and try
George
it.
George Foreman grill.
Ooh.
And I make a panini, a Tide panini, a pod nani. Anyway, you're listening to the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange. We can't say for certain that any of this will be wholesome or good for the soul in any way, shape, or form. We're just trying to make your night a little brighter.
Absolutely.
Maybe make you feel a little better by talking about people who are dumber.
And less fortunate.
And less fortunate than all of us. You think your life sucks? Wait till you hear about what's coming up next. On the Dark 30 Hour, you're listening to Speaking of Strange, brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com on News Radio 570 WWNC. Shine on the bottom that's gone and left me blue. Well, the heat was on one moonlight night, stars shining bright. We've thrown high, love's in the bind. A little more I can keep on shining. To Joshua P. Warren, Speaking of Strange, brought to you by HauntedAsheville.com. Join up, just log on to HauntedAsheville.com. Check out some of their ghost tours that you can take through our fair city. Learn more about where you live. Stop being so ignorant about the paranormal activity in your own backyard. For Pete's sake, I added that part. That's not on the official press release, that whole last part, but it sounded right. Pete's sake! cheese and crackers. Anyway, the Dark 30 Hour, you might want to, if you have kids, kids, if you're listening, thank you for listening to the radio. It's very nice of you to, you know, I like the radio. I like the format. I think it's very interesting. So this voice just comes out of nowhere, and you can pick it up. It's cool. But there might be some stories, some things in here that might not be appropriate for younger ears. So that's not up for me to determine. Kids these days, I don't think that there's anything that's going to be coming up that they can't handle. That being said, here's the headline on this one. Man convicted for renting human heads cut with chainsaw dripping disease. Yeah, let me tell you about this. A jury found body broker Arthur Rathburn guilty this past Monday of illegally renting out diseased human body parts and heads to unwitting doctors. He faces up to 20 years in prison for eight crimes, including wire fraud and illegally transporting hazardous materials. Now, apparently the cutting off chainsaws, that's kosher. That's okay. Federal prosecutors allege that from January 07 to December 13, Rathburn and his wife, Elizabeth, ran a corrupt body brokering company called International Biological Inc., or IBI, if you are on the stock exchange. For the grisly scheme, Rathburn dismembered cadavers with a chainsaw, bandsaw, and reciprocating saw, and haphazardly piled parts and heads, flesh on flesh, amid pools of blood, and shipped them wrapped in trash bags and camping coolers. Now, you say, what's wrong with that, Sam? Well, Elizabeth, meanwhile, managed rental orders from clients who used the heads and parts for medical and dental training. I didn't know that, like, when you're learning how to, like, I don't know, put in a bridge or a cap, you're using a chopped-off human head. But maybe that's not everybody. But the crime here is that they hid the fact that they often bought diseased bodies at bargain rates and made thousands of dollars renting individual parts that they knew to be contaminated with HIV, hepatitis, and other diseases. The alleged conduct risked the health of medical students, dental students, and baggage handlers. Yeah, so I learned a lot of stuff in here. First of all, I didn't know that body brokering could be a career path that I could have chosen. Nobody, like my guidance counselor, never said that that was something that I could do.
Never pointed you in that direction?
No, I think I would have been good.
You got cheated.
I feel like I did something. I also didn't know that, like, you know, if they would have sent them, say, like a hacksawed off, like, clean head, that's okay.
Yes, as long as it's not disease ridden.
And maybe their packing procedure lacked a little, you know, left a little to be desired with a trash bag and all. But, yeah, so kids, if you're listening out there tonight, don't be like Uncle Arthur, okay?
Do not.
If you're going to send heads through the mail, make sure they're not disease ridden and that they're properly wrapped. You know, what do they say?
Biohazard.
No glove, no love.
Blah.
Something like that. Yeah, so there's that. What you got over there?
Well, I mean, we were talking about heads and such.
Mm-hmm.
I could not help but think of the man, the homeless man, who kept a head in a bucket for 6 months at his remote desert campsite.
Is that like Tom Hanks and Wilson?
How did you know?
Yeah. That's like his best friend.
It's his friend.
His head in a bucket.
It must be. But he is in custody.
More on the story, please.
I am trying to find. I just know, all I know about it was that he was camping out in his truck. His whereabouts had been unknown since early 2017. He wasn't reported missing, perhaps because he was a homeless person. I'm not sure. But apparently someone was looking for him, a friend, and found the friend's truck, and he was nowhere to be seen. And sorry, I lost it there, what I was going to say. Let's see if I can find something on him.
So there's a guy.
There's a man, a homeless man. This is real, I promise you.
And
I've seen it on the internet.
And he's walking around with a head in a bucket.
I think he's camping out with it.
Did he get what was the charges? Do you have that?
I need to find this.
Okay.
Okay, it says that when deputies arrived, they opened the camper's door and discovered an odor associated with decomposition, and that the floor of the vehicle was covered in liquid, which deputies associated with the decomposition of human remains.
We call that the love juice.
Yummy. And the man told them that he found the remains in the desert more than 6 months earlier, after there was a knock on his trailer door. They said that the cause of death was a suicide, and he said that he pried. I'm so sorry.
You're all good.
I'm trying to find this.
Okay, kids, again, if you're listening.
Don't camp with heads.
Don't camp. Long story short, don't camp with heads. Keep the heads in a camping cooler like Uncle Arthur. Check this out. So, you ever been to Thailand?
I have not.
Yeah, I've wanted to go to Thailand.
I would love to go there.
Maybe for some nefarious reasons. I don't know. There's beautiful things in Thailand, and there's also the Dark 30. It's the Josh would always say the highest from the highest points to the peaks to the depths of man's depravity. To the depths of man's depravity. That goes on in Thailand. Well, you don't really want to get caught with drugs over there. They frown upon the drugs, even though, like in the seedier sections, easy to find if you were a foreigner or something, you get like the death penalty for drugs over there. Well, following a tip, police in northern Payayao, that's like province, searched a local man and found over 200 methamphetamine tablets, known over there as Yaba, very popular amongst the cab drivers, hidden in his rectum. Darn near killed him. After conducting a standard body search on Patapong Chaimungakol, a 27-year-old, police did not find anything. But after the man continued to act suspicious, they went to the trump card. They're like, pull down your underpants, young man. They found a blue plastic bag stuffed in his rectum. Inside were a total of 203 Yaba tablets. That's what's called suit casing, if you're not familiar. Suit casing. So this is where it gets kind of funny. So now, obviously, one of the cops had to, you know how they find a bust, you know, they all get around. They got to take that picture, you know, for the press photo. And here is the press photo. Here's the cop posing.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got the man's underpants pulled down. He's got a hand in the bum.
Yes, he does.
He's got a smile on his face.
He's happy to be there.
Oh, he is happy. You don't see the face of the man on the on the other end, but needless to say, he's probably not as happy. You are listening to the Dark 30 Hour on Joshua P. Warren's Speaking of Strange. Some random weird stories we got here. Some interesting, some just, as my mom would say, I was like, hey, Mom, did you listen to the show last week? She's like, I did. Some of it was a little bit risque. I was like, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, they listen to the show, and you can listen also at joshuapwarren.com, no period after the P, speakingofstrange.com, or on your iHeartRadio application, or right here on News Radio 570 WWNC. We'll be back after the break with more weird news. This is Speaking of Strange.
a whole diddly bum. There I come, Sabrina Piper. I'm hyper than Pinocchio's nose, cause I'm a supercalifragilistic tic-tac-pro. I gave a oopsie daisy, now you got the crazy. Crazy with the books, googly goo, where's the gravy? So one, two, buckle my, shoe, yabba-doo, hibbity-hoo, crack-a-boo, so trick-or-treat. Spell my feet, hip my dribbity, drop the hit. The books get on your mark, and fuck, that don't stick to shit.
Tracks and double tracks, and swiggity smacks the whiz, kids. The boogity-woogity Brooklyn boy's about to get a hit stick. My waistbone's connected to my hip bone, my hip bone's connected to my thigh bone's connected to my knee bone, my knee bone's connected to my party, ha, ha, ha. Dibbity jabber, Georgia jabber, that's the funny bone. Skip the whole routine, I'd rather have my honeycomb. Or preferably the sesame, let's spiggity smoke the bread. So, dun, 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 dun.
They wanna pay.
Timber, timber, you head for the hills. I pick the weeping willow and a daffodil. So back up, rocko, I'll pulverize my drum. Cause this little piggy gets busy and stuff. A regurgitation, heaven's the mercy, honky tonk, I get swift. I caught a snuffle up against a smoke, the boogaloo split. I got the nooks, the cranny, the nitty gritty, 40 dose of all aboard, cast away. Hey, where's my boogaloo?
Woo! Steaming.
Agony. Why is everybody always.
You are listening to Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC, sponsored by HauntedAsheville.com. I highly encourage you to, in your visits throughout the interwebs, log on to HauntedAsheville.com and book yourself and your loved ones a little tour, a haunted tour of Asheville, and request Tad McDivitt, because it's a fun name to say.
It is.
Tad McDivitt.
Tad McDivitt.
Yes. He is one of the tour guides. All of the tour guides, very, very good. And they're very knowledgeable in all of this. I learned so much stuff. Did you know the Jackson Building downtown, right there next to the fire department? You probably never noticed this. If you're just walking on the sidewalk, it just looks like a mosaic piece or something. If you're standing on top of the Jackson Building, it's like a bullseye. For people, like, launching themselves off.
Suicide.
Yeah.
Yes.
Never knew that. Yeah, that's pretty wild. Learned about the, there was a gunfight back in the, like, old West times, like, down, where is it? Biltmore Avenue, near where Bar was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Learned all sorts of cool stuff, and you can learn some, too, just by going to hauntedasheville.com. You can check out the Supernatural Tour. We border Transylvania County, people. Why is it called Transylvania? I don't know the answer.
Why is it called?
I don't know the answer to that. So, yeah. All right. So, this is the Dark 30 Hour. You might hear some stuff. We'll say that it's like, you know, it could be iffy. PG-13. I wouldn't worry too much about it. Let's get back into the do. Here we go. A Tennessee man flips car 5 times after letting Jesus take the wheel. Oh, his mugshot. Look at him. He's crying. Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. A Tennessee man told police this week that Jesus personally came to him and told him to let him drive on his, with a capital H, behalf. The result, reports local news station WVLT, is that his car veered off the highway and then flipped over 5 times. Tennessee Highway Patrol officers say that when they arrived on the scene of the accident, 33-year-old Chad England was speaking gibberish and trying to flee the scene while carrying a jar. Jar in Tennessee? I don't know. Was it like
moonshine?
I was thinking it was probably Prego pizza sauce in a jar. I don't know. Pickles. Like Clausen's pickles.
Definitely.
Yeah. Police say that England was obviously under the influence of drugs at the time of the crash, although the man apparently refused to take a blood test. A search of his car revealed 6 grams of marijuana, half a gram of cocaine, a pipe, rolling papers, a 3/4 empty bottle of Crown Royal, a small empty bottle of Crown, and several cans used for huffing. So they arrested him, charged him with, amongst other things, DUI first offense, felony possession of a Schedule 2 for resale, possession of a Schedule 6, possession of paraphernalia, and he also had no driver's license or insurance. No word on how Jesus fared in all this.
I don't think Jesus is responsible for this. I think that...
Well, we don't know. If Jesus
true.
Was, in fact, at the wheel...
Then he's not a good driver.
Then we've learned that Jesus is a horrible driver. flipping five times, and you know, no word on if the guy was like, look, man, look, yeah, it's my blow, okay, it's my toot, but that's all Jesus's huffing materials, okay? I am not huffing. Oh. Jesus was at the wheel. This is his huffing materials. So, no word on that. But in another, this is another weird driving story. Have you had a chance to mess around? You're familiar with the Tesla?
Yes.
I mean, Elon Musk, a genius.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, these cars now, they're driver. I think people are getting confused between autopilot and, like, assisted driving.
Because yes.
These cars can do a lot of things, but autopilot should not be conflated to self-driving. As one allegedly inebriated Tesla driver found out after failing to cross the Bay Bridge last Saturday evening. This is in San Francisco. I've never been that far west. I've never been all over the world. Never been west of Dallas, Texas, for some reason. But I have heard that, A, San Francisco, very expensive place to live. B, a lot of traffic, especially on the Bay Bridge. Well, this man had apparently passed out in the stop car while stuck in the flow of bridge traffic at 5:30 in the afternoon, according to the California Highway Patrol. Unfortunately, not according to Poncherello or Baker from the show Chips, who are no longer with the California Highway Patrol. When he was awoken, he attempted to reassure the CHP officers that the car was on autopilot. It's okay. It's all right. Don't you worry. Don't worry, your sweet little patoot. It's on autopilot. It's all gravy over here. So the CHP was on site immediately. They got units all over the bridge. He had a blood alcohol level of at least twice the legal limit. He was arrested and charged with a suspicion of a DUI. He told the guy that was set on autopilot, no word on if the car drove itself to the tow yard.
I wonder if it drove itself.
This could be a big problem, though, in the upcoming future with the ride. I mean, think about how poorly people drive in the Asheville area.
Oh, it's terrifying.
I mean, part of me wants to think that if we had cars that could, drive theoretically themselves and monitor things, that it would have to be better than it is now. And I don't know who you all are, but I think you guys do know who you all are, who are screwing up the traffic for all of the rest of us. Like, not just screwing up the traffic, screwing up my life expectancy.
Yeah.
Not because I'm worried about, like, getting hit. You're raising my blood pressure. I never get more angry than I do when I'm behind some idiot who is slamming on the brakes, brake checking me on a motorcycle sometimes, because they're going 42 in a 60 or something. And like, I will just push you out of the way. Just get out of the way. And no, these people got to like make some moral crusade out of it and brake check. And then ruin traffic for 18 miles. Yeah. Sorry, I get on a tangent. What you got over there?
What have I got?
Yeah, what you got?
Wouldn't you like to know? Ha!
I was hoping that you had something lined up.
I was just reading about how in, apparently if you are a woman and you have harem sex, essentially, if you just have sex with somebody other than your husband, you are doing an injustice to your vagina because allegedly your vagina is coated with the sperm of your husband. And therefore, if you have extramarital sex, your vagina is confused because it's some other man's sperm. It's like, what's going on? And it can cause cancer?
I'm confused because you're not putting into perspective where this is at. You have to say where it's at.
Oh, yes.
That's
this is definitely not anywhere in America or on this side of the world.
See, that plays big time into the context of the story.
This is an Arabic thing.
Yes, it's in the Middle East. I'm trying to find the story.
Let's see, Morocco, I believe?
That would be in the Middle East. Continue.
But yes, allegedly, the extramarital sex causes a woman's vagina to decode her husband's sperm and that of another man. And the result is allegedly that you have an increased risk of cancer. But couldn't it be, you know, like the HPV or something going on?
I don't know exactly.
Like, is it really that a vagina is decoding the husband's sperm?
I don't know. He's claiming that this is proof beyond God's wisdom behind the prescribed ITA period, which outlaws women from remarrying for 40 days after they have been widowed or divorced. I think that basically there's a lot of differences between what flies in the Western world and what flies in the Middle Eastern world.
Oh, yes.
And that is a lot of, you know, some would argue. I don't. We should probably not even get into some of that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
We'll just leave well enough alone. This is the Dark 30 Hour. You are listening to Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual here on News Radio 570 WWNC. We've only got a few stories left, so stick around as we wrap things up. To the final remaining dredges of the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange. Joshua B. Warren, Speaking of Strange on News Radio 570 WWNC. Sam, the Animal Steel. Shannon Aulis, the guest host this evening. Wrapping things up. Got a couple more stories for you. A three-panel judge of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco has rejected a sex worker group's bid to legalize prostitution in California. The group Erotic Service Providers Legal Education Research Project, whew, that's a long one, it says it's considering requesting a hearing by the full court. In a ruling issued Wednesday, the judges affirmed that the district court's dismissal of a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of California's anti-prostitution law, Penal Code 647. It's kind of, it's just, that's childish of me to chuckle at Penal Code. But yeah, what do you think about that? I mean, California's already got legalized recreational marijuana.
Right.
Seems to be working well for pretty much everybody. People making billions of dollars. State making mad you know, money. People are high and happy.
Yeah.
Why can't prostitution be legal too?
Yeah, I mean, if they're being safe, it's the bodies.
Safe is the name of the game here.
Exactly.
Because like if it's like drugs or whatever, people
right.
are going to do what they're going to do.
Yes.
When does all this crime and whatnot come in? Is usually when they're trying to do stuff, you know, illegally.
Illegal, yeah.
Yeah. And so you run into, when you're dealing with illegal things, you deal with shady people. But as the dispensaries have shown, you don't have to deal with shady people to get your weed and anything. Speaking of, don't you have a story over there about gummies?
Well, I do. I have a rather funny little story involving an innocent little 9-year-old kid. Well, an innocent little 9-year-old girl who decided to be a sweetheart and share some little gummy candies with some of her classmates.
Well, that's very nice.
It was super extra specially nice because they actually had belonged to her grandpa and they were laced with THC.
Now, I don't know if you're familiar or not with, with edibles. For those of you who are not familiar with especially like a dispensary grade edibles, they take a little longer to kick in. They are very strong. They are like a gummy bear. Picture your normal gummy bear. That could be like they might tell you to eat that in like quarters. You know, like just eat the tiny bit of the feet, eat the head. Like it could be enough milligrammage in there to really knock out a human, like a human, a grown, somebody,
right.
you know, a big boy, you know. So a 9-year-old?
9-year-old, yeah. And she shared them with three of her classmates.
And how'd that go?
And it went over rather probably well for them. They got more than just a sugar high. A few of them, I mean, they were not injured. They were all right. And they just got a little bit giggly and such. And
well, except for the 9-year-old who brought it, right?
Well, yeah. it didn't cause them harm or anything. And they didn't have any lasting symptoms. And basically, the school representatives posted a reminder for the students and the parents on Facebook, just urging people in the community to be more aware and cautious with their drugs and any edibles that may or may not be in different formats, and that the parents and community not talk explicitly about these things in front of the students so as not to tempt them. But
she ganked them from her grandpa,
just, yeah,
right?
In her case, it seems like she just, hey, these are gummies, yay.
I think the important thing here is that grandpa was probably pissed.
Grandpa was probably a little bit
final,
in distress.
Final story of the evening. Hours of tension over a suspicious package at the Slidell, Louisiana. That's south right there. Post office came to a surprising and nasty end last Friday when authorities found about 70 pounds of human waste inside a package. A man who left the box behind and ran away intended to mail the package to a federal agency out of state. He would not identify the federal agency. The man, a Slidell area resident who was not named by police, was found by investigators taken to a hospital for mental evaluation. Apparently, the incident began to unfold at around 4 p.m. when the man, carrying a large box, 70 pounds, walked into the post office, and workers questioned him about the package, like, sir, do you have any batteries in there? Do you have any, you know, hairspray? Or you know, they're not asking about doo-doo
right.
or whatever. They questioned him about it, and he just dropped it and ran. And at about 7, the package apparently was not, they found out, they're like, it's not explosive, but it is explosively stinky.
Ugh.
A bomb squad robot. They had to bring in the whole thing, and ultimately it was 70 pounds of poop.
Long story short. That's crazy.
We got to wrap things up. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you to Shannon Hollis for
Thank
being
you.
My good job, first time on the radio. Thank you to Joshua P. Warren. Thank you to Vance Pollock, Shelley Wright. Thank you to all y'all who tune in. Hopefully I'll catch you next week on these same airwaves. Don't forget, you can tune in, get the podcast at joshuapwarren.com and speakingofstrange.com. Y'all have a good one and be cool to each other. You're commanded.